appreciate the Lord, don't you, this morning? I still remember, I still, when the preacher says, when I have the, all the young people stand up, I'm raising up out of my seat. So I was 19 years old when I gave my life to the Lord. And how many knows how many years the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness? How many years, my brother? 40 years. 40 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord. 40 years. And I thought, you know what, this journey is about over. And you know, we were told, I remember just our little peanut brains, like they say, I thought the Lord, you better get ready. The Lord's coming today. The prophet had already been gone for 15 years. It's winding up. It's over. Here we are, 40 years later. But you know what? I still believe it. He's coming today. And through all these years, there's a song that we learned recently. It's called, I Never Lost My Praise. I Never Lost My Hope. I Never Lost My Joy. But most of all, and through these 40 years, I never lost my praise. And this song goes kind of along with that. Just pray for us this morning. You know my name.
Have to believe it that way. Let's just sing this to the Lord this morning. I guess your testimony.
Amen.
Pray for me to get myself out of the way and into the channel of the Lord this morning and get away from all the phone blowing up with all the COVID questions and everybody wanting to know what to do and that kind of thing. But we just commit it to the Lord.
Amen.
So we're just going to go with what God has for us this morning. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. We're going to begin reading Ephesians chapter 1. Start at verse 1 through 5. Brother Bram said the book of Ephesians parallels the book of Joshua.
Right.
Amen. Joshua placed the people in their promised land, and the book of Ephesians will place us in our promise. Amen. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will.
That's good.
Amen. Now let's just go to chapter 2 of Ephesians, and we'll read verse 1 through 7. So he's just told us in chapter 1 that he's predestinated us. And what I really like about it was so many times in there, it's according to his will, by his purpose. It wasn't something we did.
Right.
And so because of that, then we go into chapter 2, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice it said we're by nature children of wrath, but we're not children of wrath.
Right.
Only by nature during that time. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. Then I'd like to read from Hebrews chapter 13, just one verse, verse 5. You'll have it there on the board. Let our conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee.
That's right.
I want to just speak to you this morning about the bride's security in Christ Jesus. Lord, pray just for a moment. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you this morning, Lord, it is with joy in our hearts to be able to come here and to just put all of our effort into looking to you, Lord, to worship you and just give you the honor and praise that you deserve.
Hallelujah.
And only should go to you. We ask, God, that you just help us this morning just to get ourselves out of the way. And Lord, just let your Holy Spirit come in and just speak to us out of your word. God, that you would impart into our experiences eternal things, Lord, that would last us from this day forward. We ask, God, that you bless each one that's here today. Bless our visitors. We just give it all to you now, Lord. Put this service into your hands and each one of us into your hands. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And you've been seated. I also had a prayer request there that was given to me a little while ago. Sister Clara had a sister-in-law that had collapsed after being in the hospital with COVID and had gotten out of the hospital and then collapsed and they had to go back to the hospital. So we want to just remember her. Her name is Shirley. And ask that you would pray for her also. We just give that to the Lord.
Yes.
Amen. So we read here in the scriptures, we know that that the scripture tells us that Jesus Christ died for us in the mind of God before the world was, and that we were chosen in Christ Jesus before the world was.
Amen.
And you know, in our own human limitations, we try to comprehend the love of God and try to absorb what it really means and the magnitude when the scripture said that he loved us and he purchased our redemption before this foundation of the world and what that means to us. And so I'm going to try this morning just to kind of expound to you the thoughts that are running through my mind concerning this. And so we, in our own human limitations, we try to absorb what that really means. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to take the ability that God has and the magnitude of his love and all that he is. We don't want to take that and drag that down and limit that to be that of human. In other words, we know what it's like to love, but, you know, a lot of times with human love, there's limitations.
Right.
And we don't want to bring God's, his attributes down and say, well, and basically accuse him of being limited to the capacity that humans are, because he's not limited.
Right.
He's God. And that's what I've said so many times, that the reason he is God is because he is so much higher. He is so much greater.
Okay.
And so we worship him because of his attributes and all that he's is and all he's able to do and all that he extends to us. And so we don't want to ever want to drag his love and his attributes down and try to make it limited by man, but rather let us, let our experience and the love that we have in our hearts, may it be molded and rise up into what his is. So we become like him rather than trying to make him. And that's what the denominations do. They try to put limits on God and they just hold it back so much. And rather than saying to our own experience, let us rise up to be like him and be what he is, they limit it so much. And so he wants us to understand the magnitude of his love and what he has given to us through that. Now, you know, as I've said so many times, I'm so glad that God did send a prophet in so many ways. But, you know, God's prophet takes things and he puts them in the right perspective. And I say this a lot, that until we see it the way God sees it, see?
Right.
God is, you know, when you have the laws of a land, you go into that land, you have to obey those laws. You don't write the laws. It's the law of the land. Somebody else wrote it. And when you want to traverse and move around through the economy of God, you've got to use his rules.
Right.
And when he says something's wrong or something's right, you can't try to water that down, because this is his kingdom. And if we want to live in his kingdom, we've got to go by his rules.
Right.
See, and that's what the world does. They change it and they make it to be something different and then call themselves Christians.
Right.
I said many times I've used the examples that if you kids had a little clubhouse, yet maybe one of you will say Elijah, he wanted to have a little local clubhouse, and he builds a little clubhouse, and he goes in there and he makes the rules out, and then says, anybody that's going to come be part of this club, you have to live according to these rules, you know. And so some of the neighborhood kids, they come in and they're all happy and they're just enjoying being part of this clubhouse.
Yep.
Then you get some other guy moves in and he comes in and he wants to be part of the clubhouse, and you let him in, and next thing you know, he starts wanting to do things differently.
Uh-huh.
Right? And we'll call it Elijah's clubhouse. He wants to do things different. Well, Elijah says, now wait a minute, this is my clubhouse, and if you're going to live here in this or be in this clubhouse, you've got to do things my way.
Right?
And so this guy, he gets mad, and he goes down the street, and he builds himself a clubhouse, and he starts having his own rules, and he calls it Elijah's clubhouse. And that's what they're doing with Christianity. Don't call it Christianity if you've changed it to something else. That's what we don't want to be guilty of doing. So God, his prophet, puts everything in the right perspective. When he says a lot of the things that he says, we forget this, but we are very blessed people just simply by knowing some of the things and some of the ways that the prophet told us and put our minds right in the right way to see things the way God wants us to see it. And so one of the things that Brother Graham said is that God vindicates his word by bringing it to pass.
That's what he said. Come on.
Amen. He brings it to pass. And so people could say this and people could say that, but let God, let him prove what he means by bringing it to pass.
He will.
And so we know in the scriptures we read there that it tells us that he did all these things. He predestinated us and all that. And in verse 7 there in chapter 2, he said that in the ages to come, he might show these things. He might show, in other words, that in the ages to come, he might prove everything that he said and everything that he's committed to the bride, everything he's committed to his church, which would wind up being bride at the end time. He said that through the ages, Paul speaking that back then, that through the ages he might show and prove all of his truth and everything that he's given to us in his grace. And we might understand that because he wants us to understand that. And we need to remember that here at the end time, we as the bride of Christ, we are the culmination of everything he was doing through seven church ages. Everything that he was committed there to all those ages, the truths that were there, we get all that plus all the loose ends tied up at the end. We get all that, and we become the expression of everything that God had been doing in Christ in his church throughout the seven ages. And so we know that to be true. And so the scripture tells us that he commits these things and has done these things, and then throughout the ages he will prove to us his word. How does he prove it? By vindicating it, by bringing it to pass, by showing that through the ages he was always there with his church, through the dark ages, through Luther, through Wesley, through Pentecost, and even now to this hour today, proving that he's always among his people, and that's how he's doing it. He's vindicating his own word. He doesn't need us to put any interpretation on him. He does it. When his Bible, his word said he would send a prophet at the end, we don't have to come around and try to make that happen. He proves it. Right? Because it's his word and it's his responsibility, and he does it. He brings it to pass, proves it to be true. We know that. And so he does all these things that we might know the magnitude of what he has committed to us. I think Jeremiah 29:11, I believe it is, he says, I know the thoughts concerning you. That I have concerning you. That they're good thoughts, not evil thoughts. That I might bring you to an expected end. Well, he knows what our end is. But he wants us to know what our end is going to be. That his thoughts toward us is good thoughts, not evil thoughts. He wants us to look forward to what he's bringing us to. And in order for that to happen, we've got to catch that revelation and believe that revelation. Because if you don't believe, it doesn't do you any good. So the scriptures tells us that he chose us from the foundation of the world. Now, what did he choose? And we don't say, well, he loved us. Well, why did he love us? Why did he choose the bride of Christ, the people who were part of that bride, whoever they are, we believe we are today, we hope to believe,
come on,
right? Endeavoring to believe the word. But what is it that is what's in her that made him choose her? Right? Because not everybody on this earth is part of that bride. We know that.
Right.
You know, he poured out his spirit on all flesh, but not all flesh is saved.
Right?
We understand that? And so he pours out his rain on the just and the unjust.
Right.
That's why I can pray for people that I know that they won't even give God a second look. But I can pray for them because he said he'll pour out his blessings on them. And I don't mind praying for them saying, God, if this life is all they have, let it be good.
Yes, sir.
Right? You see what I'm saying? So we believe it that way. So, but what did he love? What about her that made him love and choose her and pay the price for her as he has done? And so we're familiar with a quote where Brother Branham says that you can tell what's in a man's heart by the woman he chooses to be his wife.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Uh-huh.
You can tell what's in a man's heart because of, and you know, you can rearrange that and you can say, you can tell what's in the man's heart by looking at his wife, or you can tell what kind of wife he's going to choose by what's in his heart. He goes both ways.
Right.
So you can look at her and say, this is his choice, and look who she is, and look at her character, and you know what's in his heart because of what he's chosen. Or you can look in his heart and say, what'll he choose? And I can tell you what she's going to be because I can see what's in him.
Right?
So Brother M tells us this, and I don't want to get bogged down reading quotes. Sometimes you do get bogged down, but this is choosing of a bride. Brother Branham says, so you must make the right choice. Again, the kind of woman that a man would choose will reflect his ambition and his character. If a man chooses the wrong woman, it reflects his character. And when he tries to show himself truly, what's in him. A woman reflects what's in her in the man when he chooses her for a wife. It shows what's down in him. Now, no matter what he says on outside, watch what he marries. I go to a man's office and he says he's a Christian and pinups all around the walls and old boogie-woogie music going on. I don't believe what he says. I don't believe his testimony because his spirit is feeding on them things of the world.
Right.
And what do you say if he would marry a chorus girl or he'd marry a sex queen or just a pretty modern ricketta? It reflects and it shows what he has in his mind of what his future home's going to be.
That's right.
Because he took her to raise his children by, and whatever she is, that's the way she'll raise the children. So it reflects what's in the man, and a man that takes a woman like that shows just what he's thinking of the future. Could you imagine a Christian doing something like that? No, sir, I couldn't. A true Christian will not look for such beauty queens and chorus girls and sex queens. He'll look for Christian character. Amen?
Amen.
Looks for Christian character. So when we look at this and we say, well, what did Jesus, when God was going to choose a bride from the foundation world, and by his foreknowledge, he would look all the way to the end and say, that's the one, and so much so that he actually put her name on the Lamb's Book of Life.
Yes.
What was it he could see?
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
and we just showed you here that if you could look into the heart of Jesus Christ and you look what he is, I can tell you what kind of bride he's going to pick because you can see what his character is.
Right.
And so you know right there, and you just say, well, I want to know if I'm the bride of Christ in this end time. Then you need to ask yourself, am I... my experience doesn't match what I know he would choose.
Right.
And of course, they want to water him down and make him be one that would just accept anything. But it's not so. He accepts it just exactly the way his word says. Amen. And so you can see what he's going to choose.
Yeah.
Jesus did not feature himself in beauty.
Right.
The scripture said that he wasn't much of one to look at.
Well, he said.
You know, he wasn't, and you know, well, I don't want to get off a rabbit trail, but I had an experience when I was a very young Christian, and where I saw the Lord, and he wasn't beautiful. He was rugged looking, you know, But you know, and I'm just saying that. I'm not trying to say I'm anything. I'm just saying that was an experience I had, and maybe I don't even if I knew this in the scriptures that he wasn't to be one beautiful, but he wasn't. But he had character. And so, you know, he didn't come to feature himself in beauty. He didn't come to feature himself in the wisdom of man and in the things that man thinks is great. In the things that man in his fallen condition thinks is great and man in his fallen condition clings to and runs after and chases after. He didn't come like that. Right? Jesus didn't. And you know what? Apostle Paul, when he would send Alpha, the minister to bring the beginning of the churches, Apostle Paul had to leave all that wisdom behind. So God's prophets, God's messengers, true messengers, they don't look to those things either. They don't come with all kinds of eloquent speeches and things like that. They're dressed right and talking right. But man thinks that's great. You know, and I was talking to someone a few days ago, and I was saying, you know, if I had to stand before educated clergymen of whatever denomination, whether it be Catholic, whatever, but men that were doctors of divinity. Yeah. I said, if I had to stand there and present to them, I said, they would make me look like a fool. And they would. They would make me look like I didn't know nothing, because in that realm, that's exactly the way it is. And I could be totally right and them totally wrong, but in that realm, they'd make me look like a fool. You know, Brother Ram said that. A good theologian or a Baptist that knows what, he'll make you think you don't know nothing.
That's right.
Right? Why? Because that's the realm they're working in.
Right.
But see, that's not the realm that he came in.
Right.
He
right.
didn't come that way. And so I don't want to choose and I don't want to seek after that way.
Right.
I've said many times, you know, I made a choice when I was going to college, and when the Lord got a hold of me, and I wasn't very far from finishing, getting a degree, and I made a decision. I said in my own heart, I said, you know what? I don't want to waste the time to seek after this education. I want to serve the Lord. And I made a choice not to finish college, and I never graduated. I never got my diploma. And you know what? But the Lord has blessed me. And I'm probably, I know that I'm more successful as far as a career is concerned and monetary-wise now than I ever would be pursuing what I was pursuing in that degree.
Right.
You know, I've got people working for me that are fully degreed people, and I'm not. Mm-hmm. But I believe, not that I'm anything, but I just believe the Lord blessed that and said, because you have chosen to follow God like Solomon, you know, you're not asking for riches and you're not asking for fame. You're asking for wisdom on how you can serve your people and build your people. And so I'm going to give you that and the wisdom and the money and all the fame. I'm going to give you all of it. And that's what I think the Lord did. Since you don't want to chase after that, I'm going to give it to you anyway. You're going to have a good career anyway.
Right.
See what I'm saying? And so we don't want to chase after things of the world. And chase after God. He'll provide to you the things that you need. Amen. But Satan wants to make you think, oh, this is glorious. I can't get by without following after that way. And that's not true.
Right.
We want to follow after the things of the Lord. And so, he didn't feature himself in beauty or wisdom. He came in humility. And like I've been saying for several weeks now, Jesus, you know, he unlike Lucifer, who was created, he was perfect in all his ways from the day he was created, right, until iniquity was found in him. That's what the scripture said. And so I liken it to the rungs of a ladder. You know, you need to start at the bottom of the rungs, and you need to work your way up so you know what it cost, what the cost is to get to the top. So you take a man that you put him at the top, and he doesn't know what it's like to be through all the way up. He will abuse those underneath him because he doesn't know what it's like to be there.
That's right.
See? And so Satan was created, and he was at the top. The only higher position he could be was God himself, right? So he was the highest position in heaven other than God, and he was anointed, and he was beautiful, and he was smart, and the scripture said he was anointed, and he was perfect in all his ways, but he was made that way. And so what I was showing the church is that because he didn't work his way up, he didn't gain character. You know, character's a victory, and once you have character, then you can rule. then you can hold a high position. And so he didn't work his way up. He was just created that way. So he had no character. He couldn't hold the position he had. He couldn't hold that place in heaven. He defiled it because he had no character. Because if he would have had character to hold it, he wouldn't have fallen. So Jesus didn't come that way. Jesus came lowly, came in as a baby, born in a manger, needed, was totally helpless, needed someone to feed him, to change his diaper, to all those things. He came that way because that's how you and I come. And he was an example for you and I. He was an example of how we have to start at the bottom, and through experiences we grow in stature and favor with God and man like he did. And we grow in our revelation, and through one battle after another battle, one victory after another victory, by the time we get somewhere in God, we know why we're there, and we know what it costs to get there, and we're not going to abuse that spot.
Yeah, right.
So when we talk about the bride of Christ, she wants to come to third pool where she can speak. Well, you're never going to get there until you go through these trials and you have these victories in your life, because the only thing that's fit to rule is character that you get from winning the victories.
Right.
And like I said last week, all he's asking you to do, he's not asking you to win, he's asking you to let him come in and he'll win. And then when he wins, when he fights the battle and he beats your enemy, then he lays that character to your account and you get to go on over because he did it for you. Amen. And so, we don't want to be like Lucifer and be, you know, that's what's wrong with a lot of people today. A lot of the young people, they don't know what it's like. They've lived and been raised in a time of blessings, and they don't know what it takes to get the blessings. My wife and I have been married for 34 years, and we, you know, we have a home paid for. But you know, it took a lot of years to get there. It took a lot of hard work to get there.
That's right.
And young people don't, you know, they see what mom and dad have and they want that right now.
That's right.
You don't get that right now.
That's right.
And if you did get that right now, you wouldn't know how to handle it. You would abuse it.
Right.
See,
that's right.
The best way is to start at the bottom. And I know my kids probably didn't like this, but like when they'd go to work for my mother-in-law, and she'd want to pay them what I thought was way too much for what they did. I'm like, don't give them $40 for 5 minutes of work. I may be exaggerating there, but to get the point across.
Yeah.
They work 5 minutes, give them a dollar. Or work 30 minutes, give them a dollar. I remember one time when I was a kid, my brother and I, my older stepbrother had just got married. He had a fairly good-sized backyard fenced in, and it was covered with leaves. And so he's like, got me and my brother, said, y'all come over Saturday, we'll come get you, bring you over. You can help me rake leaves, and I'll get you something. I forget what he told us. So we went over there, spent the whole day working, raking. It seemed like an eternity. Mm-hmm. And my brother and I, you know, hey, we're going to get paid for this, because that's what he led us to believe. Well, it was almost dark. By the time we got done, he went by and bought us an ice cream cone. And we're like, what? We worked all day long for an ice cream cone? But you know, it needs to be that way.
Yep.
See? And so that's why I appreciate, in my job, I've come up through the ranks in my job. I appreciate here in the church that I've held almost every office there is to hold in the church.
Yep.
I know what it's like for this brother to have to do books, church books. And I'm not going to ask him to do something. Right? You see what I'm saying? Because I know what it's like. I've been there. And so now I know at this place where I'm at now that I'm not going to ask these brothers or people to do something because I don't know what it's about. I know what it's about, and I'll also always treat them right. See what I'm saying? And that's why it's important that we gain character, and that through these battles, we win these victories, and once you have it, you have it.
Right.
See? And then you're not going to abuse it.
Amen.
That's what's so important. But people nowadays, they don't want that. Mm-hmm. That's what's wrong with all these riots and all this stuff. They don't have a clue what it takes to have a free country and have a life that's blessed.
That's right.
I don't have a clue. Yeah. All they think is, give me, give me, give me. A socialist mindset, I'm going to get all this free stuff, but somebody's got to pay for it.
That's right.
And they don't even think about it.
That's right.
See?
Don't care.
And Christianity, oh, blessing, 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 just name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, and they lost touch with what that sacrifice really was.
That's right.
Yes.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
That's what's happened.
That's good.
And so now, Jesus didn't come that way. And so you know that what's in his heart, you know that his choice is not going to be for a people who come that way.
Right.
Right? He's not going to choose something that's glorious on the outside. Mm-hmm. He's not.
Right.
He's going to choose something that has character on the inside.
Yeah, right.
You know, because of the fall, this... Because of the fall, most men, at least nowadays, most men, when they're looking for a wife, they are looking for outward beauty. Mm-hmm. They are looking for a sex queen, as Brother Branham, as the quote, or some chorus girl, or some Ricketta. Right. That's what they're looking for. Mm-hmm. And if they had any intelligence at all, they wouldn't be looking for that. They'd be looking for character.
Right.
Something inside that would make a happy home, because that stuff doesn't make a happy home.
Yeah.
No. And so... Most of them knew they're looking for beauty. I know when I was a young man, I know I was just like the rest of the young men. I was looking for some beautiful woman, you know, to be my wife. And just like everybody else. Anybody, any other brother? Was that what see?
Come on,
at least one honest brother in the building. Besides me, you know. But that's the thing, you know. But, you know, if you have the right kind of upbringing, the right kind of character... Then and you get that, then you wouldn't be looking for those things. But most of us, you know, we came up, and even in message churches, there's something happening because people are still looking for things of the flesh.
Right.
They're not catching it yet. And just that's a wake-up call for all the ministers to realize that just because somebody's sitting there and they're under the teaching, the preaching of it, doesn't mean they got it. Right?
Right.
Because it takes a birth.
Right.
And so... Let me read a quote to you where Brother Ram said, I'm against organized religion about this situation I was just referring to here. Why I'm against organized religion. And Brother Ram was talking about, and you know the church represented by a woman. So what you see the church doing, you see the women do it in the natural. So Brother Ram was talking about this, and he says, he's talking about Mystery Babylon. Yeah, the scripture says it's a cage of every hateful, unclean bird, right? So he says, a cage of hateful, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Didn't say they wasn't some sort of a lover of God, but it was their lover of pleasure more than lover of God. Would rather be like the world than to be like Christ. When you see a woman with a lot of makeup on, it goes to show she's empty inside. She's false inside. That's exactly right. I seen one the other day with green hair and all that green stuff on her eyes. Look what he tied to that. Said, when you see a woman who's trying to put all this stuff up on the outside, you're looking at someone that's empty inside. No character inside, because if there was character inside, that character would stop her from seeking outward beauty, sexually looking. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
Now, it's natural. Brother Evans said it's natural for a woman to want to look pretty for her husband.
Right.
I'm not talking about that. Okay.
Right.
But you can even pervert that.
Right.
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 And so, but you see what he's saying there. He says that when they're doing that, it's because there's nothing inside. Listen, the church world can build millions of dollars, buildings, great big beautiful things, and they do that to draw people in with all kinds of programs and all kinds of things. And it's because they don't have character inside. They're empty inside. The church has got to the place where they draw people with something besides the Holy Spirit because they don't have the Holy Spirit in there.
Right.
So they have to build, you know, life centers, which is nothing but a basketball court and pinball machines and have rock music and stuff. That's what they've replaced it with.
Right.
Why? It's because they're trying to be all beautiful and attractive on the outside rather than attracting people by the character inside, the character of the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
And that's what they do. And so, you young people, you young boys, just remember that. You see some girl putting all this stuff on, trying to make herself to be something she's not.
Right.
You just know that she's empty inside, and she will not make you a good mother for her children and make a happy home for you.
Right, exactly right.
You look for one that's not chasing for those outward things. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if she had the character inside, she wouldn't be doing that.
Right, that's right.
You know, when I say that, that can be just as much a rebuke to me or any minister in the house, any brother in the house, not just you sisters.
Mm-hmm.
And all, it applies to everyone.
Sure is.
And so if a young man chooses, from the quote there with Saul, I go, if a young man, if he wants to choose a coarse girl or one that's trying to put all this stuff on the outside, that shows what's in his heart. That shows what he's chasing after. And that shows what he wants. That shows what's more important to him in his future. It's more important to him to look on outward beauty than have somebody who will take care of the kids right. Right? You see what I'm saying? It's more important. And so it shows what his future is going to be. So Brother Ram laid that out and said, when they choose that, then you know what his future is going to be like. Because she's involved and he's hooked up with that and united with that lack of character, and so that's going to project what his future is going to be. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Right.
You know, a young man, he might be blinded. You know, they say love is blind. And I'll say this, that if you are in love with a character inside her that's a godly character, you're blind to what she looks like on the outside.
Yeah.
No amen?
Come on.
That's right. But if you are seeking outward beauty and you're looking at that outward beauty, that'll blind you, then miss the fact she doesn't have character inside.
That's right. That's right.
So love is blind. Whether it's right love or perverted love, right. Love is blind.
Right.
Right? And so he might be mistaken and he might be tricked and he might be thinking, oh, she's wonderful. And he might make a mistake and then hook up with the wrong thing, and then his life is ruined.
Right?
Right? The one time. And you might say, well, in this world we can do it here. No, in God's economy, one time, and if it's not right, you're messed up.
Messed up.
It is messed up.
That's right.
Not to say there's not grace to save you, but you're messed up and won't be justified in this life.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because of that record. And so it's important. I don't know that there's anything other than salvation itself, except in order. I don't know of anything else any more important than making the right choice.
Right, exactly right.
In who you hook up
exactly
with.
Exactly right.
That's right. Because it's your choice exactly to hook up with Christ takes you through eternity, and your choice of who you hook up with in this life
amen
takes you all the way through. It's there.
Right.
See?
Right.
That's right. And so. But I said all that to say this. A man might be tricked. He might be blind. She might trick him in making him think that she's got character. But I'm telling you that when the rubber meets the road and the children start coming along and the issues start rising up and there's not enough money for the bills and sickness strikes the home and all the things that happen. And you see what I'm saying? When that happens, you're going to find out whether she's got character or whether he's got character inside or not.
Right. Right.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
And so, you know, as a Christian, we want to hook up with someone that's got character, and he wants to hook up with a church that's got character, right?
Right. Right.
And because the devil's going to send trials, they're going to come left and right,
right.
And that's when you're going to find out what it's all made of.
Amen.
Right? So you want to have a mate that you know will stand there through thick and thin, and that doesn't come from outward beauty.
Right.
That comes from character in the heart.
Yeah, amen.
Right? And this world we're born in now, we might have a mindset of outward things, but as a Christian, as God deals with us, as we walk through many miles, we begin to shift from that and begin to shift to the right things of life and what matter to us. And it's a good thing because all of us, if we're beautiful or handsome and strong, all of that fades away eventually. She might be ever so beautiful right now, but she will not be 50 years from now.
Yeah.
Come on,
right?
Brother.
Just, you understand what I'm saying? She won't be then 50 years what she is now. But if she's got character and you love her and that's what you're tied to, she'll be the most beautiful thing in the world to you.
Right.
Why? Because that's who belongs to you.
That's right.
Amen.
That's
And that's what will get you through life.
That's right.
That's the things that's right.
Right.
And so I say all that to say this. She might trick the man and he might make a choice and think he's choosing right, but you're not going to trick Jesus Christ.
That's right.
When he made that choice from the foundation of the world, he wasn't blinded.
That's right.
He knew exactly what he was picking.
Yes, sir.
See what I'm saying? And that speaks of exactly what she'll be at the end. No question about what she'll be at the end. And he knew it with his foreknowledge, and it was so rock solid that he placed it in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know, we have this phrase, written in stone or chiseled in stone, and what that means is that it's unchangeable.
Yeah.
Right? You know, we take stone and we'll put up a memorial, a headstone, and we chisel into the face of that headstone the name of whoever it is, or put up some memorial that's made out of stone. Why? So it'll stand the test of time, be a testimony forever, so to speak. Because it's stone. If you made it out of wood, it's going to rot. You make it out of earth, it's going to wash away. But you make it out of stone, and you put in that stone, that testimony, and it stays there for ages on end.
Yeah.
That's why it's a stone. Mm-hmm. It's chiseled in stone. But you know, the Word of God and revelation on the Word of God is the rock. The rock of revelation. Why? Because once you have it in stone, once you have it in the rock of revelation, it does not fade with time. You can take it all the way with you to eternity. Because it's chiseled in the rock of revelation.
Amen.
And so he knew back then, and the Word of God is the only rock that I know, the revelation of it, that you can really stand on. That's why he says that false church is from a bottomless pit. They have no foundation, no word to back up what they stand for.
Right?
And so I know of no better rock to stand on, and that is the Word of God, the revelation of the Word. And that word which was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, of which he gives us a revelation now of our names on that book.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's what will get you and take you a long ways.
That's right.
And so you're not going to trick him. He knows exactly what he picked, and that speaks of the character of the bride at the end. And I'm saying all this to give you, to encourage you, for you to know the security that you have in him.
That's right.
For him to come along and reveal to you the revealing of himself, that you know you're seeing him in ways that the rest of the world don't. You know that he's calling your name.
That's right.
You rest assured he will perform what he said. And I'll get there in just a moment so you understand what I'm trying to get to, what I'm saying.
Right.
And so, a lot of times men chase the wrong thing. And I said a while ago, you know, I was interested in pretty women. Just like, you know, and I'm sorry, I'll just be honest with you, okay? Because I wasn't raised in a horrible home, but, you know, there's a lot of things that wasn't there, you know, that wasn't taught, you know. And so, you know, but by the grace of God, you know, and I can look back and I can see his hand on my life.
Yeah.
Because I can think about different ones that I was interested in, and not a one of them. Not a one of them would have been able to back up me standing in this pulpit today.
Right.
My experience or them, or them staying with me, would never have worked. And so by the grace of God, I saw something, and there was something he put in my heart, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
But he said he put something in my heart that caused me to see something in my wife that spoke to me. You understand what I'm saying? Now, don't make a joke out of this. I'm just trying to get a point across. So I don't consider my wife to be ugly, okay?
That's right.
I don't. But from a fleshly standpoint, there could be many others out there that we would consider really beautiful. And maybe, you know, we would be looking for that. But by the grace of God, God turned me away from that and caused me to look for something from inside that I found in her. Something that I believed would be good for life, that would be good for me throughout my whole entire life. And then 34 years later, it's even more now than it was then.
Right.
You follow me?
Right.
And see, if I'd have went any other direction, it would. But God protects and he moves and he works. If we just, and I wasn't seeking God back then, but he knew what he was going to do.
Yeah.
See?
Right.
And so I saw something in her that I needed. Something that would satisfy a longing in my life for that companionship. And it just so happens then that means she would be a good mother for my children.
Yeah.
And she'd stay with me through the years. I do remember as a teenager, and I don't know why I thought this, but I remember this thinking it, and I remember it clearly, and I had a longing in my heart. I thought, when I get married, I do not want to marry someone that I'm going to have to worry about whether or not she's been faithful to me.
Right, right.
I don't want to have to worry about that. Right. I don't want to find out that she's been unfaithful to me. You know? And so we all grow in as a Christian to the right things where we, you know, if you've done things wrong, you make it right and so forth. But, you know, I remember that. And so by the grace of God, he provided that for me. So 34 years now, I am just as happy, more happy now. I'm glad that God did what he did, and that I found what I found in my wife. You know, she was born 4 days after me. And we always joke, you know, he said, he made me on January 1st, 1966. And then he's like, well, I got to find a wife for him. I got to make one for him. So 4 days later, on the 5th, here she came, right? And that's not to say that it hasn't been without trials, because anything that God does, and especially anything that you believe and you proclaim that God has done it, Satan's going to test it and attack it and try it. See?
Right.
But what God has joined together, let not man put asunder.
Amen.
Right.
We know that. Amen.
Amen.
And so, I saw something in her that I needed. So from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ saw something in his bride that is what he needed. You know, we hear Brother Brim say the best thing that God could give a man outside of salvation is a good wife.
Like that.
Right? So translated into this, the best thing that God could give Jesus Christ is a good wife.
Yeah.
And so the wife is making herself ready now in this end time message, what he needs. And you know what? There are things that he cannot accomplish without her.
That's right.
Think about it.
He cannot accomplish. You know, Adam could go out and do all kinds of things and name the animals and do all that, but there's one thing he couldn't do, and that was reproduce himself until he had a wife.
Right.
See what I'm saying? This thing will stop if Jesus Christ doesn't have a virtuous bride to unite with. Because God has limited himself to that program.
Yeah.
But he'll have her. Because she was declared before the foundation of the world, and she's on the spot, and she's being made ready right now by an end time message.
Right.
And he saw that, and he looked at what she'd be at her end, and that's the thing that he proclaimed. That's the thing he died for,
right?
That she could come to that.
Yeah.
And that's what we're thankful for.
Amen.
Amen. And so, he could see in her something that would satisfy him, and he could see in her something what the character of what he would see his future home to be. His dwelling in eternity with what he bought and paid for.
Yeah.
Right? For the character that he knew. Brother Ram said a man, if he married a woman, disagreed with him, there'd be a constant fuss going on.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ will not marry a church that doesn't believe his word.
That's right.
Because it'd be a constant disagreement.
That's right.
How can you build anything on disagreement?
Right.
How can you build anything on this generation out here now that doesn't even understand things?
Right.
You can't. You can't. That's why we're close to the end. Just without him coming, this humanity has become so worm-eaten, they can't go much longer. They will destroy themselves.
That's right.
Amen.
Right.
Now you know why the scripture said, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly.
Right, right, right.
Amen. So, she has a character that he saw and that was what he wanted for his future home. And what is that character? It's a character to believe his word above and beyond all other words, above all other sensations, above all other things. She lays all that to the side and she believes him and him alone. Now remember, as the prophet is telling us these things, he's putting it in the right perspective. And as you know, Brother Graham said that if a man really loves a woman the right way, that if she came to him and said, honey, I really think I'd be happier with this other man, that if he really loved her the right kind of way, he'd let her go and be with that other man.
That's right.
Now think about
it.
Jesus Christ, see, if he has the right kind of love, and I ask you this, does he have the right kind of love for you?
Uh-huh.
If he has the right kind of love for you, if you have a desire for something other than him in your heart, he'll let you have it.
That's right.
But you won't have him.
That's right.
See? He's not going to force you.
That's right.
So that's a good wake-up call for us to realize that I've got to check my own life and see, is there anything in me that wants something that's not like him, that's not part of him?
My.
Because if it's there, I can't go with it.
Right.
It's got to be him and him alone, nothing else.
That's
See?
That's right.
So because he'll let us go.
Yeah.
Exactly
once he can see that, you know what, she is sold out to me, he'll do anything he can for her.
Yeah, right.
And he did. Any natural man would do that. Any natural man would see the character in a woman and know that she totally, completely sold out to him. He'd give his life for her.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And if we could do that in filial love, what could it be agape love? Right?
Right?
Amen. So she has the character to believe above and beyond all other things. You know, but she's got to believe this. And this is the thing, is he's given us this understanding and hand feeding us as that you grow up and grow up as calves in the stall, which are hand fed. As he's hand feeding us this special message for the bride only. We've got to believe it. And we've got to, we have to understand that he is saying, will you marry me? And you've got to say, yes, I will. I accept it. I accept totally, completely. And I'm not afraid to declare it. You got to believe it and begin to walk in the grace of what he's given you. Begin to walk in what you can have because you're walking with him. You have to believe it. Because remember, a pardon is not a pardon unless it's received as one. And you've got to believe that he grants to you these things or you'll never walk in it.
Yeah.
You'll never walk in the blessings of being the bride of Christ at the end time until you believe it. And I know it's like me, my wife, you know, I hope she doesn't get mad because I share things sometimes. But she says, and I do the same for her, she send me a text and say, I love you. And I'll say, me? Question mark. And she'll answer back, yes, you. Yes, you. And that's what we have to do. Listen, everything I've gone through in life could help me share what I'm telling you today, to share the message. Everything you go through in life, everything you experience, equips me to say it the way God wants me to say it to you. You know, yes. And so I can say, me? He's telling me? And I'm saying to him, me? And he comes back and he says, yes, you. And that's what he's saying to you. Yes, you. Because you're the one he's talking to. Go to a Catholic church and see if you hear. Go to a Methodist church and see if you hear this. Go to a Baptist church, Pentecostal, whatever, you name it. Go to them and see if you hear this. But you don't. Because you're hearing it here.
Right.
Yes, you. You're the one. And he's here to prove that to you.
Amen.
Amen. So, Brother M says, and I'll read it, and then I'll make some comments on it. This is a little bit lengthy, but I get hung up sometimes on reading because I don't read the best in the world. But this is Hebrews chapter 7, part 1. Brother M speaking to about his wife. He said, there's a little girl sitting back here tonight. It's my wife. I love her with all that's in me. And if I know that I could run around with another woman and get by with it and go tell her and say, Mita, I did wrong, you think I'd do that? If I love her right, I won't do it. That's right. Now, what if I'd say, oh, I can do this. I can't do this because I'll tell you why. She'll divorce me. And I got to know I'm a preacher and see what that would do. That'd take me out of the pulpit. And if she had divorced me and a divorced man, oh, I got children, and think of that, boy. Well, if that's the way it is, you're still legal. You follow what he's saying? He said, I love her. As long as I love her, I'm not going to do anything against her. But if my mindset was like, well, I could go do this, but I don't want to do it because, you know, she had divorced me. I don't want to do it because it would take me out of the pulpit. I don't want to go do it because it would. He said, then if you're thinking of it like that, then you're legalistic.
Right.
Because it's got to be from love.
That's right.
right? It's got to be from love. If that's the way it is, you're still legal. He said, it's not legal basis that I married her upon. It's not legal basis that makes me live true to her. It's because I love her. I don't have to do anything. I do it willfully because it's a love affair. And if you love your wife, you'll do the same thing. Amen, brothers?
Fine.
Now, he shifts it over to the ecclesiastical side. In just a moment. He says that if you love your wife like that with filial love, what oughtn't you to do with Christ in agape love? Which is a million times stronger. If you really love God, if I know tonight I could go out and get drunk and I know that I could run around and be immoral, I know tonight if it was even in my heart to do so and I went and done it and he'd forgive me, I wouldn't do it. I think too much of him. I love him. Sure, certainly. And this is where he shifts it to his experience with Christ. He said, now that's the reason I won't sell my experience to any denomination. No, sir. No Assemblies of God, no Church of God, no Pilgrim Holiness, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, Catholic. I wouldn't take anything that could be offered for this experience because it never came by man. It come by God. No, sir. I wouldn't sell my birthright for Elvis Presley rock and roll for his fleet of Cadillacs. Or his $1 million and so forth, he gets each month. No, sir, I love him, and as long as I love him like that and stay true to him, I'll stay true to him. And if God called me and elected me, he placed something in me, and I love him. I remember Mr. Isler. You all know him. Most of you, he come here, the State Center of Indiana, come and played his guitar, and he said, when my baby died and my wife died, and all of them laying there up in the graveyard, I was going up the road with my hands behind me crying, and he jumped out of his little old truck, and he come and put his arm around me and said, Billy, I want to ask you a question. He said, I've heard you preach till you almost fall in the pulpit, heard you out on the street corners and everything, crying out for Christ. He said, now, he took your daddy, he took your brother, snatched them both, and they died in your arms, and there they are dead, and your wife died holding your hand, and your baby died, and you calling on him. And he turned his back on you. He said, what do you think about him now? What do you think about him? And Brother Wren said, I love him with all that's within me. If he sends me to hell, I'll still love him. That's love. Yeah. But he's telling us there, he says, if I love my wife, and he says this all along, said, if I love my wife the right way, there's no need in her worrying about whether or not I'm going to be faithful to her. See, no need in her worrying about whether I'll keep my end of the bargain if I love her right. And if she loves me right, then there's no need in me worrying about whether or not she's going to keep her end of the bargain. Right? But let me tell you what he didn't say. He did not say that if she loves me right, then I'll never leave her. He didn't say that. He said, if I love her right, I'll never do anything against her. Mm-hmm. And if she loves me right, she will never do anything against me. Right? Right. He didn't say, if she does right, then I'll stay with her and I'll never do anything against her. You see? This is the prophet telling us. Yeah. See? Because every one of us has been guilty of not loving Jesus Christ sufficiently like we should. And therefore we go out and make mistakes and have done things we shouldn't do.
Right?
Right? And if that's what it meant, then he would have left us a long time ago. But that's not the way God did it.
Right.
God laid it out and said that if Jesus Christ loves us right, then we ain't got to worry about whether or not he's going to carry his end of the bargain, right?
Right.
And so I asked you what I asked you a while ago, does he love you right?
Yeah.
Then there's no sense in us worrying about whether or not he's going to save us, heal us, give us a body change. Because he done it from the foundation of the world, and we know that he loves us, right? And it's not whether or not I've made mistakes, it's his character that's on display.
That's right.
See? Now we understand that there is a reciprocation in the fact that when you see that your spouse has given the life for you, that ought to do something in you if you got anything in it at all. It ought to make you want to be true to him. So we understand it is reciprocating. But if you look at it, it's whether he loved us, then that's the case. And then the flip side is that you can judge your own experience and say, do I love him enough?
Yeah.
then I won't do anything against him.
Right.
There's your measure. Because we know he loves us. And we, but the confidence is the security that you have to know that he loves you. He paid the price, did it a long time ago, and he knew and knows. He put it in stone, put it in Revelation. He knows exactly who she is, and you don't have to worry about it.
Right.
Right? You might worry about what you're doing, but you don't have to worry about him.
Right.
As long as you can correct yourself by his word, come back and repent, he'll take you. See, he's not going to run off from you. Amen.
Yeah.
And so, but you got to believe it. And that he loves you the right way, and that's not going to, you know, you got to believe it. But what if you're continually questioning, will he do it? Mm. Is he really got that kind of character? Because we would never stand up and say, well, Jesus Christ, he don't keep his word. We wouldn't say that. But sometimes in our action, most of the time in our actions, we act like he's not going to fulfill his word. We act like that he's just not going to do it.
Right.
And what a slap in the face.
Yeah.
Think about that. To constantly question, Lord, will you heal me? Will you do this? Will, you know, that's the flesh side talking when it questions those things. But see, the idea is for us to rise up in a revelation to a level where we understand and know and believe. And even though it might take time, I commit it to him. He knows what he's doing. And he will fulfill his end of the promise. Because I know that even when I make mistakes and don't love as much as I should, he loves me.
That's right.
There's no question about it. He will keep his end of the bargain.
That's right.
And that had itself, that revelation in itself, propels me to love him more.
Yes.
See how it works? It's a reciprocation to his bride. But if we constantly question him, it's wonderful that he's full of so much forgiveness and grace and mercy because we constantly question
him. That's right.
I have a guy that works for me. I won't call his name, but he works for me. And he is the most ethical person that I know pretty much as far as in the workplace. He is absolutely always doing on time, always honest, always trying to do his best. One of the few guys that will come to me and say, I'm done with what I'm doing. You have something else you want me to do. And it makes no difference what I ask him to do. He is gung-ho to get it done and do it right.
Yeah.
Very ethical. And he's married, and he's got, I think, seven children. And he loves his wife. And if you know this guy, you know that he is totally in love with her, and he has there's no chance of him being unfaithful to her. You just have to know the guy. He is absolutely head over heels in love. This is the love of his life. But she doesn't trust him. She is so jealous on him that if he goes to McDonald's to get breakfast and he stops to get gas because he needs gas on the way home or on that trip, she's in the car looking for him because he was 2 minutes longer than he should have been. One day, I had him doing something for me at work. And she was going to meet him at lunch out in the parking lot. He was going to go out and he was going to go get lunch. And I had him doing something that was going to take a little bit longer to get completed. And he was going to have to work past noon. And it only took about 7 minutes or so for him to get the job done. But he came to me. And he said, I need you to do me a favor. And if they listen to this, like I said, every experience I have is so I can tell you
right.
The truth of God's word.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
And so he came to me, and it was about 7 minutes after 12 noon, and he said, I need you to do me a favor. And I said, what's that? And he said, I need you to walk out here with my wife, with me and tell my wife that I was working.
Wow.
Because she's going to think something. And I come to find out it's all because of this. She, as a child, witnessed her mother be unfaithful to her dad. And that set up something in her. And so, see, she takes experiences of what others have done and what she's seen elsewhere, and she's trying to apply it to one of the most ethical men that I've ever seen in my life.
Come on, brother.
And I said, that's a slap in the face to that man's character.
Yes.
He is so honorable. And that's all it is. And so she's taking these experiences, what others would do, and trying to blame him. And maybe she knows he's not, but she just doesn't. You see what I mean? She's got a phobia or something like that. And that's the way it is. But listen, what's the difference in that and us as a church questioning?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the difference in us constantly wondering, will he back up his word and do what he said he would do?
Come on.
Come on now.
You see what I'm saying?
Right.
God, help us not do that.
That's right.
Help us to know that if there's one person that will be true, it's Jesus Christ, true to his word, true to us because he's made us his choice.
Yeah, amen.
See what I'm saying?
That's right.
To believe that and not let anything hinder, because as he is to shine through us, if we're murky, if we're not clear as crystal, then we're not a very good city that's set on a hill, right? Because the bride of Christ is a city to be set on a hill. And if she's set, he said, a city set on a hill can't be hid.
Yeah.
And she's to have the light and the glory of God. But if she's murky with unbelief, she's not a very good reflector, like a diamond would be if it was all milky and couldn't get the fire to shine out of it.
Yeah.
You follow me?
That's right.
And so, you see, we've got to realize it's not our mistakes along the way. It's the fact that he loved us. And he keeps his end of the end. Let's go to Revelation 21, 9 to 11. You know, John is being escorted by the angel, and the angel's showing him stuff. And so the angel, he comes and says, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the last plagues, and talked with him, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. Let me ask you something. What angel showed us who the bride was? He was one of the seven angels that had plagues.
Right.
He was one of them that poured out the plagues.
Right.
Right? But he's the one that showed us who the bride is in the Word. Right? And he carried me away in the Spirit. And he's going to show the bride. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great high mountain. What? A city setting on a hill. This bride is destined to express the glory of God.
That's right.
She's not going to be hid. She's right. Going to be sitting on top of that hill. And look what it says. He carried me away in the Spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from where?
God.
From God. Amen. Having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal.
It's not.
Did you know stones don't have their own light? Mm-hmm. Precious stones, diamonds, they don't have their own light.
Right?
They're reflecting his light.
That's right.
See? And the whole thing is that when she gets to this spot, and you know, a mountain in the Bible is, you know, something high, lifted up high. And man likes to have high things. And when John the Baptist was going to come, he's going to take everything high and bring it down. Make all the high places low, right? In other words, he's going to preach a gospel that didn't regard the highfalutin politics and all that. He's going to make them all sinners, right? But God has a mountain. God has somebody he wants to put up there for all to see. Not what man has done. He puts up a mountain. He brings down this city from the Word of God, right out of heaven from the Word, because brother said heaven consists of the Word. And she comes right from the Word, and she is a city, the city of God, New Jerusalem, right? And so he comes down and sets on the top of that mountain, and it says her light. She don't have light. But when she becomes one with him, it becomes her light. Her light is like, and she's clear as crystal. In other words, there's nothing about her that's going to hinder the glory of God from emanating from her light.
Right. Right.
She's that city that's come down on top, right?
Yeah.
Emanating the glory of God for the whole world to see. And he put her there.
Amen.
She didn't put herself there.
No,
he
right.
put her there.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Made it to be so. Oh, my city that's set on the hill cannot be hid.
Good.
Amen.
Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Lord, help us just to get all this underneath. You know, me as a minister, I'll go and I'll struggle with the same things you do.
Yep.
Doubts and questions and all these things, you know. But I thank God that there's a hand on my life.
Amen. Oh, yes.
And there's a word that he just keeps putting in there. And he keeps putting it in there. Because he said he will provide for himself this wife. Without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing.
Yes.
No worldlyism.
Yes.
Amen. And all I can say is, Lord, just keep moving. Just keep working. Keep, you know, keep hacking away and getting this stuff off of me. Keep doing that for all of us. Amen. And we believe it. Amen. Let's let the musicians come. I'm so glad he's done what he has.
Amen.
I'm so glad that he didn't stay up there in the glory and leave me down here, leave you down here trying to fend for ourselves. You know, a man that's in prison can't help himself out. He's got to have somebody come and help him. And I'm so glad he did. We sing down from his glory. Amen. I'm going to pray, and Brother Tim will lead us in song. Let's bow our hearts to him. Lord Jesus, oh, what a blessing, Lord, it is to be able to sit in heavenly places and be able just to talk on the things that you've given to us in this day. Lord, we don't ever want to take these things for granted. We don't ever want to be high-minded. Lord, it doesn't bring high-mindedness. It brings humility. Because, God, we're thankful to know that in this world, as bad as it is, if you didn't have your hand on our lives, what would we have? Where would we be? And I'm asking, God, that as we grow in this revelation to understand who we are, I ask you, God, that you will continue to work through us so that we might help others find this same glory, this same place of confidence, this place of security in you. God, because without you, they have no place to go either. This man that works for me, his wife with his COVID, Lord, everybody's just scared of it and so forth. And, Lord, we're not saying it's not something to be careful with. But God, I just pray that you go to his home. God, that you'd bring to him peace and that there not be a fear. And I'm asking God that you'd stop that COVID right there and not let it proceed any longer, any further in his house. Bless him, Lord. I pray that you just continue to bless us, Lord, and help us to go in the revelation of these things that you've committed to us now and be able to express it to those around us. Because we know someday, Lord, you're going to call us. This Bible will be closed for the last time. And Lord, we look for that day. But until that time, we ask God that you help us to be faithful to your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord. If you love him and you thank him for what he's done, you worship him with this.
Down from his glory, who did he show me? God and Savior came, and Jesus was his name. Glory of name.
Disappoints you, your government, your friends, your family, even yourself. You would disappoint yourself. But I've never been disappointed in the Lord. When he has to tell me no, he still lifts me up in faith when he tells me no. When he tells me yes, he lifts me up in faith when he tells me yes. Amen. And we're not worried about things as long as we can hear him speak to us and say, yeah or nay, whatever it is, as long as we can hear the voice of his word.
Yeah,
and you know, back in the garden, that's the way he came down.
Yeah.
It was the voice of his word. And here we are at the end, the voice of his word leading his bride. Amen. Don't you love it?
Amen.
May the Lord richly bless you. We have carpet on order. And so, whenever the time comes, we're going to have to clean everything out of this whole entire area for the door. So, I told them I want to do it on a Monday or Tuesday so that after church on Sunday we can all take it and get it out. And then we'll have the rest of the week and I can get stuff back in. And so God bless you. Let's just sing this again as we go. May the Lord bless you. May you have a wonderful day.